Now, please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6 tonight. Mark chapter 6. And trying to think of words how to describe what this church means to our family and to our ministry in the Philippines. And I can't think of any word because I just cry. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of the conference and to meet a lot of you and to get to know everyone here and the staff. And it's just been a blessing. And San Bernabeo Baptist Church has been a haven for us as we have returned from the field, and just been a blessing. And I do apologize, though, that I'm not very good with names. So if you come up to me and introduce yourself, tell me your name, I may not forget, I may not remember it the next time I talk to you. And but it's still a blessing. My children will tell you that sometimes I get their names mixed up. And so, but it's been a blessing to be with you folks. And thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach tonight. And I count your pastor as a friend and a mentor, and just somebody that stood beside us and in the ministry and has helped us through our darkest hours there in the mission field. And we're so thankful to have him as a friend and someone that prays for us. And again, thank you for your faithful prayers and over the years. And as I mentioned during the conference, that many times we would receive letters from you folks, and whenever we get that, and you know how things are sometimes when in a third world country, when you send mail, and it takes a while to get there, but when we do get them, maybe, I think we do get them twice or three times a year, and I would read that over and over again, and I would look at the signature section and try to decipher the names, and I would remember, you know, place some faces with those names. And so it's been great, and thank you so much and for praying for us, and pray for us as we continue our furlough. And there's a number of items that we're trying to get accomplished before we leave again for the field. And one of them, obviously, most of you know already, is the medical situation with our children. And we praise the Lord that we're making a little bit of progress with that, and God's opening up some doors for us. But we have other things we have to consider. We have some immigration issues we're facing, but it's all in God's timing. It's all in God's hands. So if you could be praying for us in that regard, I would appreciate it. And again, it's just so exciting to be a part of the conference, and then again spending some time with you folks. And my kids don't want to leave, and they want to stay. But we'll be back around again, and hopefully soon, and enjoy being here again. And I was joking with some men. I said, I'd like to be back and see this place with green grass, you know. And I don't know when that would be, August, September, I'm not sure. But we're excited to be around you folks. So if you turn your Bibles, please, to, again, Mark chapter 6, we'll begin reading, starting from verse number 34, a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. And my aim tonight is just to be an encouragement and a blessing to you, and pray that the Word of God would speak to hearts tonight. Verse 34, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And when they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties, And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for today. Lord, I'm so humbled and just a privilege to be able to preach tonight. Lord, I just pray that you speak to hearts. And Lord, there are perhaps many needs tonight that people with a lot of burdens and different things that, Lord, that they're carrying. I pray that tonight, Lord, that the Word of God would be a blessing to them and that you, the Spirit of God would speak, Lord, to and move amongst us, Lord. And I pray also if there's somebody here today, tonight, Lord, that's still unsure of heaven, Lord, and I pray that tonight would be, Lord, the day of their salvation. And we just give you the praise and honor tonight, Lord, for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The automobile pioneer, Henry Ford, one day had a bright idea of trying to develop a new kind of engine in which now we know as the V8 Ford engine. He was so excited to get that in production, and so he talked to his designers, to the engineers, and soon after that they started to draw up some plans and try to give that to the engineers so that they can start to manufacture that particular engine. And but as the engineers look at the plans and they try to look at the idea, all of them all came up with the same conclusion. They had to gently tell their boss that his vision was impossible. Everything about the V8 engine defied all the fundamental principles of engineering. But Henry Ford said, do it anyway. And they said, but it's impossible. But he said, keep working on it. And I want you to spend as much time as you can until you have developed that engine. Well, 6 months passed and drawings after drawings and another 6 months passed. Mr. Ford came to his engineering team and asked them how everything was going. And still nothing. They told him again that it's impossible to develop that engine. But he said, keep working. And they learned at the end of that to develop what we know today as the V8 Ford engine. Now, if you are a GM guy, I guess the illustration just went out the door, right? And I know there's plenty of you that tonight. But the illustration is this, is the fact that many times we're faced with a lot of impossible tasks and things and situations that we thought there's just no solution. We look at our pressing situation and we think there's just no possible way that this will ever come to pass or it will ever find a solution for it. The same thing was told to a young preacher one day, and this young preacher had this notion back then when there was really no effort of reaching the lost, and especially in heathen lands, and nobody was doing anything about it. But this young preacher just was so burdened in getting the gospel out to this faraway lands, and he began to pray about it, and at one time had a meeting with a bunch of preachers, and he presented that burden to them, and most of them thought that he was kind of foolish to even think about the notion of getting the gospel across the ocean, across the seas. But this young preacher persisted, and in 1792, William Carey, preacher, got a message from Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3, with just 2 points. Expect great things for God and attempt great things for God. And the very next year, William Carey and his family packed up, went to India and spent 40 years as missionary and accomplished much as a Bible translator. Something impossible. And you know, we see that in our text tonight that the disciples faced something that somewhat was an impossibility. And it's a familiar story. And we see that there was just a lot of demand, but not enough supply to meet that demand. Maybe you're here tonight and again you're facing some sort of an impossibility in your life tonight. Let's look at by means of introduction tonight. We see that what was the challenge? Well, we see in our text in verse 34 and 35 that there were just too many people. And the main issue here is that the disciples are faced with what the demand the demand overwhelmed the supply. It is simply impossible to feed that many people with limited supply. They said, there's just too many people. We don't have enough. And secondly, they said that the place was not even ideal. Look at verse number 35 with me. And the Bible says there, when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto, said, this is a desert place. And, the disciple thought that, you know, even if we had the supply to buy something, this is just not an ideal place for anything to happen. And, there's just no possible way that, these people will be fed. There's nothing around here. The word desert place basically means desolate and solitary. It's a wilderness and nothing much was going on around there. And, also they said that the time is far spent, so that not only that the people were too many, the place was just not ideal, but the timing was just not the right time. They said, and now the time is far spent, and they were saying that it's too late to do anything. But notice also in their mindset, and sometimes we can be like this as well, when we were faced with the difficult situations in life, we begin to kind of reason and kind of come up with our own type of reasoning and solution. But look at their solution in verse 36. Is they said, simply send them away. In other words, they're trying to solve the problem by getting rid of the problem. They said, send them away so that, in verse 36, send them away that they may go into the country, run about into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Send them away. And just ignore the problem and so somebody else can handle it. And secondly, he said to go into the villages and to buy themselves bread. And basically what the disciples are trying to tell us is to tell the Lord Jesus is, to send them away and then they can go and fend for themselves and try and just let them come up with their own solution. But what was the remedy? Again, by means of introduction, we see in verse 37, the Lord said, give ye them to eat. And I'm just starting to think what it's been like with the disciples and they just explained to him there's enough people and there's just nothing around here and the timing was just not right and we don't have enough and the Lord said, give ye them to eat. So he set them down, verse 38. He said, how many loaves have ye? And go see. And when they knew, they say five and two fishes. And we have the advantage of reading ahead and we know what's going to happen. We know that God's going to do something great in this particular situation that the disciples were being faced. And again, as we continue into this message we're sometimes faced with impossible situation. I don't know what kind of situation you're facing tonight. Maybe it's a relationship issue and maybe it's an issue at work or perhaps your personal finances or maybe an issue of fear of the future or perhaps it's God's will in your life and perhaps it's that fear of stepping forward and whatever it may be, I want to just remind us tonight that we serve the God of the impossible. And God is going to do something great here, and it's no surprise to us, and because we can read ahead. But I want to draw some four principles from this passage about the God of the impossible, because I really truly believe tonight that God wants to do the impossible in your life, in my life, and He wants to do something that only He can get the credit for. And then we look back and say, wow, God is good. There's been many times, and I will share as we go along, many times in the Philippines that we thought that this is just, we just don't know what to do. And then God comes along and then we see how God moves around us. And whatever it may be you're facing today, uncertainty, maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's something that you didn't even plan for. Something, a trial, a great message this morning about trials and so on. Whatever it may be, we can give it to the Lord. So God wants to do the impossible in our lives. And I believe there are four principles. If He is to do the impossible in our lives, number one, if you're taking notes, we need to, number one, focus on what God can do. We need to first of all focus on God's power. On God's power. It is never about what we can do. It is about what God can do through us. And the disciples saw their situation as hopeless because they were focused on what they had. They even know exactly, or the money that they perhaps they have saved and some solution that they come up with. Why? Because their focus was not on God, was not on God's power. J.B. Phillips said this, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And our problems and the things that we face is God's opportunity to show himself mighty in our behalf. And the disciples were not focused on the right thing. And how do we know that? As I said, they, because of the solutions that they came up with. And Abraham is a great example to us. We know that Abraham was promised a son. And, when everything was just physically impossible and it was not the right time, it wasn't just the right situation. And the Bible challenges in Genesis 18 verse 14, the Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I often get challenged by that statement. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You look at this place, you look at how God has blessed this place, and it's not so much of the building, it's the people, and the people that have been transformed because of this place, and the many men and women that have been called out to start other works, and folks that are now in the mission field because of this place. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we think of Moses and his example, and think about it as they were finally able to get out of Egypt, and they were in the desert, and Pharaoh was on hot pursuit. Behind them, on their side, was the open desert, and in front of them was a massive body of water. And you think that's an impossible situation. And yet the Bible tells us in Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye shall see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And just imagine yourself one of the children of Israel, and you're afraid, and behind you again is a Pharaoh's army. They're killing machines, and they're well equipped, and on your side, running either way, there's no way to escape and ahead of you. I mean, the children of Israel, they spent many, many years as slaves. I doubt that they're expert swimmers, and they just no solution. And then yet God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We need to focus on God's power. We need to focus on what God can do. And yes, it's not about our intellect. It's not about our self-made we are. It's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about what he can do to us. Notice also, we need to focus on what God can do, focus on his power. But secondly, we need to focus on his purpose. God has a purpose for everything. You know, I'm glad that as God works in our lives, that he has no plan B's. You know, when he allows trials, when he allows the difficult situations in our lives, he didn't make a mistake. It's there, and he has a purpose for everything. And God specializes in the realm of the impossible. And God has a purpose for everything in every situation in our lives. And we may not like it for that moment, and we may not like trials, and I've never met anyone that liked trials. I've never met anyone going through some difficult times and say, wow, I can't wait for the next one. But in all of that, God has a purpose for all of those things. And I'm thankful that my kids are, you know, can sing, and by the way, that all came from my wife. I had nothing to do with that. That didn't come from me. And I would try to sing with them, but I just think I'll just mess everybody up. But you know, when When Micah, when the boys were young, they had the boys had epilepsy, and Micah had developed Tourette syndrome, and it got worse during deputation, and we had to kind of switch gears a little bit and try to help him out. We tried everything besides getting him medicated, and we tried every therapy, and it would help for a little bit, but he'll go back to it again. And I don't know if you're familiar with Tourette syndrome, and you can look it up, but it just disrupted our lives so much, and especially being on the road. But one day I play a little bit of the guitar, and so I decided to teach Micah just three chords, and I only knew like four or five. So I taught him the basic ones, and he started playing the old guitar we had, and for hours he would play that thing. And you parents know what it's like when your kids are first taking on instruments, right? You almost want to put them in a room somewhere so they can play all they want to, but it's a blessing when they actually get better and able to play instruments. But he would pound on that thing for hours, and I thought, man, maybe I should have picked a different instrument. But he played, but we noticed that as Micah played and as he developed skills with playing the guitar, the Tourette's was gone. He wouldn't have any tics, and then the more he played, and again he still played today, and he's way advanced, way better than what I know, and I couldn't teach him anymore, and he took some lessons, but the teacher said, I can't teach him anymore. And God's just giving him some natural abilities, and even his musical abilities, and all of our kids are the same way. But what I'm simply saying is that when you hear him play the hymns on the guitar, especially, and when he plucks those strings, and it was because of a trial. It was because of a difficulty, and perhaps you can identify that many of the things that the Lord has allowed you to do is because of a trial in your life, because God put something in your life. God has a purpose in everything that we face in our lives, and if anything, is to bring us closer to Him and to show Himself mighty in our behalf. And we need to focus on the purpose, and the disciples kind of missed out on that. And thirdly, we need to focus on God's presence and the presence of God. And you know, if you look at the book, the Gospel of Mark, and kind of review the things that already had transpired, and you know, they have already seen the leper cleansed in Mark 1. They've already seen the man sick with a palsy healed, and they've already seen the man with a withered hand healed, and they've already seen even the nature is subject to the Lord as Jesus calms the storm in Mark 4, and they've already seen that Jesus had power over the demonic world. It's all in here, but for some reason in this particular situation, they missed something there. They missed out that they kind of forgot who they're with. And sometimes, folks, we forget who our God is. We kind of forget what His promises are in the Bible. And when we're pressed and when we're faced with those difficult situations, if God's going to do the impossible in our lives, we need to focus on God. Focus on the Lord. But secondly, tonight, we need to surrender all to God. Surrender all to God. You know, we sing that song, I Surrender All. You know, to me, it's a difficult song to sing if you're really going to mean it. I surrender all. And God wants to do the impossible in our lives, but we must be willing to surrender all to Him. In John chapter 6, verse 9, the parallel passage of this particular story, we see that the Bible says that there is a lad here. We know that somebody volunteered their lunch, not a portion of it, not something that they saved for themselves and just in case they get hungry, they just gave it all to the Lord. They surrendered all to God. This young man gave everything that he had. I believe that he probably knew that his personal lunch would most likely not feed the entirety of the crowd, but he just want to give it all to God. You know, sometimes we do get so focused on what we have, and you say, this is not enough. And we look at even our own lives and say, how can God use me? And we look at our past, we look at the different things that we've gone through, and you say, how can God ever use me? My friend, God can use anyone. And God can use a broken person, and because God is a healer. He can mend marriages together. He can put your lives together, however broken it is, and He can use it and use it as a vessel for His glory. We need to surrender it all to Him. And are you surrendering all to the Lord? You know, we live in a world where Christianity is very calculated. Many times people are kind of, you know, very careful with their time or very careful with their resources when it comes to serving God. And they want to keep things for themselves. They want to kind of secure their time to themselves. And don't get me wrong, we need to take care of our family. We need to make sure we spend time with them. But are we giving all to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, David learned an important lesson about disobeying God. In 2 Samuel, we find that he had numbered Israel, and that was a sin against the Lord, and many lives were lost because of his disobedience. But the Lord is merciful and told them what to do. He told them to go to the threshing floor of Arana and to sacrifice there for the nation of Israel. And the story goes in chapter 24 in 2 Samuel that when he showed up there at the place of Arana, Arana saw him and went up to him and treated him obviously as his king. And Arana said that, King David, everything that I have is yours. You're the king. And it's true. He could have taken it. And Arana said, everything that I have, use anything you need to and to use for whatever you're about to do. But David said this. And the king said unto Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, my God, of that which that cost me nothing. Let me ask you something tonight. What is it costing you to serve the Lord? You know, this whole pandemic thing was, it really revealed a lot of times, and I don't know what was happening in your particular province. We were in the Philippines, but in our parts, it really revealed how important church is to people. When we had to, I'm not encouraging you to defy whatever laws or whatever that's in place, but it really kind of put us in a sticky situation there. But what is it costing you to serve the Lord? You know, there's a lot of people today that are willing to go and are willing to serve, and as long as it's not costing them, as long as they don't have to give of something that was valuable to them. Parents, are you willing to let go of your children? Are you willing to say, Lord, if you call them to the mission field, they're yours. They're yours to begin with. And are you willing to say, you know, I'm not going to give God something that didn't cost me anything. And we serve God out of conviction and out of commitment, not out of convenience. Give all to the Lord. We need to surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it doesn't matter where we are or even our abilities or inabilities. And God wants to use us, and we're willing to surrender all to Him. And five, you know, two fish and loaves, that can't really do anything. But when it's given to God, it can do the impossible. And when you give your life to God, and I don't know what situation you're in, God can do the impossible. Eleanor Young spent many years in the mission field in Papua New Guinea. God used her to reach children and many others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, her main assignment was to translate the Bible into their native language. Once she was many years later on furlough, she decided to go back to her home church that, as a 12-year-old, she gave her life. Surrendered her life to be a missionary. And she showed up, and everybody she knew that was there the night she surrendered most of them have moved on in their lives, and but there was this one particular elder in that church that was still there. And she said, and he came up, he recognized her, and in that small country church, and the first thing he said was, "I'm sorry." And if she thought that was kind of a strange thing to say, the first thing you say, "I'm sorry." But he explained himself later. He said, "I'm sorry that I remember the night that you surrendered to the mission field." You see, Eleanor Young, when she was 5 years old, was diagnosed with polio. And back then, there was really no medicine or any vaccine or anything that would help her, and only just therapy, and she had to wear just heavy braces. It changed her life. It, you know, she was an active 5-year-old, and all of a sudden she was kind of limited to what she could do, but it didn't stop her. But she had to be carried to places, and she really had to learn to walk with this giant contraption that really restricted what she used to do. And she remembered when she was 12 years old, a missionary came by to their church, a man from China with broken English, and that man began to preach about the needs of missionaries around the world. And this country church, his challenge was, who will go? And nobody moved. And Eleanor Young remembered, as a 12-year-old, surrendered. Said that nobody else will go, I will go. She dug her brace and under the pew, strapped it on, and she wobbled on the aisle. Nobody had to, you know, look up, because they knew, here comes Eleanor, because she makes a lot of noise. And she went forward at the altar. And this elder said, "I'm sorry, because when that happened, I went to the speaker, and I said, I'm sorry that the only person who responded to your invitation to give themselves to serve the Lord in the mission was this little crippled girl who could never do it." And then the missionary said this, with his broken English, "Whom the Lord calls, He will use." What's limiting you from surrendering? What's stopping you from getting more involved in church, or perhaps doing more for the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're going to do the impossible in our lives, we need to be able to surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, tonight, as we move forward here in verse 41, the Bible says, and we had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set them before them. And 2 fishes divided he among them all. If we're going to see the impossible in our lives, we need to focus on God. We need to surrender all. But thirdly and simply, we need to be willing to be broken. And we see the picture here is that the Lord actually broke the bread and fish and divided all amongst them. You know, the word, or even the concept of brokenness is very consistent in the Word of God. And we see that illustrated in Mark chapter 14 about the alabaster box, that this lady had a perfume, something that was of value, but she sacrificed it, but she had to break the box. And the whole idea there is that when she broke the box, she used something that was valuable for the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of brokenness, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us. His sacrifice at the cross, it was broken for us. And so the idea of suffering and brokenness is very evident in the Word of God in the New Testament. And we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, and that when he was called to preach, the Lord had already appointed that he would suffer many things. And are we willing to be broken? You know, to be honest with you, I think as I travel and as we go, there are less and less people surrendering, going to the mission field. And I think that there are many reasons for that, but I think one of the reasons, main reasons for people not surrendering is because their unwillingness to be broken. their unwillingness to go through some of the things that we hear about missionaries go through. And you know, I know you met many missionaries, but the missionaries I've ever that I've met, and you perhaps have met them as well, they're the most joyful people you've ever met. And they would, yes, they have real issues they're facing with in particular countries. They have real, problems that they face, but they have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because they're willing to be broken. And, are you willing to be broken for the Lord Jesus Christ? And again, one of my favorite songs again that we sing so many times, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, we sing that a lot. It's an easy tune, and we sing it in youth camps. We sing it in church. But do we really mean it? You know, the world behind me, the cross before me. Are we willing to be broken for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? So we need to focus on God's power, what God can do. And it's not about what we can do, but what God can do through us. We need to surrender all to God. And give all to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the bread and the fish was given to the Lord, and God was the one that broke it and divided it and did some miraculous things with it. But lastly, tonight, if we're going to see the impossible in our lives, we need to leave the results to God. We need to leave the results to God. You know, we live in such a visual world, right? To see is to believe. And that's why we're not willing to trust God, because we just don't see it lining up, or we don't see it. We don't see it the way that we want it to end or to kind of conclude in our lives. But we just need to leave the souls to God. And this young boy, we don't know his name. We don't know where he came from. But I don't know what he was thinking. He probably just said, "Here's my lunch. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just going to leave it to the Lord. I'm just going to give it to the one that can do something about it." And you know, again, God wants to do the impossible in our lives. And I don't know, again, what you're facing in your life tonight. But we just need to leave the results to God. And sometimes sometimes in our lives we get disappointed, and we kind of have our own idea of how things should play, and it doesn't play out the way we want to play. Just leave the results to the Lord. And leave the results to God. And He will take care of us. And I believe that God can do a better job with my life than I ever could with doing my own thing. And we need to give God and leave the results to Him. We're too often in this life, we're too careful. And I'm please don't get me wrong, we need to have discernment. We need counseling and direction from the Bible and the authorities God has placed in our lives. I'm not talking about being reckless in our decision, but many times we're too careful and we're just too calculating, and we try to kind of play things out in our minds, and we never do anything for the Lord. Why? Because we're constantly looking at the present. We're not looking at what God can do through us. And again, God can do a better job in our life than we ever can. And again, God has a purpose for everything. Let me close with this story. There was back in 1929, there was a missionary couple by the name of David and Sylvia Flood. And when they were 2-year-old, they went to what is called now as the Belgian Congo. Back then it was called the Belgian Congo. And they met up with another young couple that they had their main mission is to reach this particular tribe. And then so they went together and they tried to set up, and they were already faced with a lot of difficulties. The chief of the tribe would not allow them to settle there, because he had feared that people would turn to Christ and they would turn their backs on their idols, and they faced a lot of persecution that way. But so they decided, these two couples with these two young families, that they were going to set up outside the villages and try to reach them. And the chief would not allow any contact at all, except for this young boy that would come twice a week to sell them chickens and eggs. And Sevilla Flood thought you know, if this is the only person that we're going to have contact with and with this tribe, I'm at least going to try to win him to the Lord. And the Lord blessed, and that young boy got saved. After that, there's still no breakthrough. They were hoping that they can penetrate that village, but they never could. In the midst of all of this, Sevilla got pregnant and a little girl was born. They already have been struggling with malaria and all the different things that they struggled with their health. And then 17 days after she gave birth to this little girl named Ina, she died. Her husband, David, had enough. He said, "We're going back." They left the mission station, and after he had buried his 27-year-old wife, and he took that his son and that newborn baby, went to the mission station and gave that baby to another missionary couple. And then he left, and David turned his back from God, not serving the Lord ever again in his life. And this little baby was left there, raised by a missionary couple and eventually adopted by some American missionaries that took her to the United States. And she grew up in a godly home and ended up going to Bible college and marrying a preacher. She was renamed, her American name is Aggie. And one day, for some reason, a magazine came by, was placed in their mailbox, and it was a magazine not written in English. It was written in Swedish. She didn't know what it was, so she started turning the page, and she saw a picture. And the backdrop was a white cross, a gravesite, and the name Sevilla Flood. And she knew who that name was. She knew that she was adopted, and she quickly got in the car and went to some place, a friend that spoke Swedish, and to translate what that article was all about. And as the friend read that magazine, and the story that unfolded changed her life. She got so excited, and one day she and her husband decided to go back to Sweden to look for her father. She knew that her father was still alive, and she found him, and she was reunited with, he had started his own family, and then ended up an alcoholic. And David Flood raised his new family away from God. They said that you can never mention the name of God because he'll get mad. He said that David would say that God took everything from me. Now an alcoholic and sickly, 77 years old, Ina found her father, and as she went up to his dark apartment, opened the door and saw that all the liquor bottles are everywhere, and just in this dark room, David just laid there on his bed, staring at the wall. She sat down beside her father and said, "Papa." He turned around and he hugged her and said, "Oh, Ina, I never meant to give you up." And Ina said, "It's all right, Papa. God took care of me." And that mention of God made him turn back again. His tears in his eyes, he said, "Ina, God took away everything from me." And Ina said, "Papa, God, you did something in that place." And he began to describe what was in that magazine. He said, "Papa, do you remember that boy that you and Mama led to the Lord? Well, that young boy went to the village, won some students to the Lord. And eventually the whole student body got saved. And even that chief got saved. And the entire village turned to Christ." And he said, "Your life was not in vain." You know, we take our lives and we look at our pressing situation and say, How can anything good come out of this? You know, God has a purpose. And we just leave God the result. He'll take care of it. He wants to do the impossible in our lives. Here, God took just fish and some loaves of bread and fed the multitudes and did something miraculous. God wants to take your life in my life and do something miraculous as well? Are you willing to focus on God? Surrender all to Him. Be willing to be broken. And leave all. And leave the result to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for today. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, as we have our heads bowed, that we come before You, Lord. And perhaps there's somebody here tonight that You've spoken in their hearts. Maybe You've been working in their hearts already. Lord, I know that, I don't know their particular situation, but You do. And perhaps there's somebody already here struggling with something. It could be a health issue. It could be a relationship issue. It could be something that You want them to give up in their lives that's not helpful to their Christian life. Or it could be surrendering to go to the mission field. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that You would just speak to hearts tonight. And we just give You the praise and thanks. Amen. Let's all stand as we have this quick invitation. The pianist is going to play. God's spoken to your heart tonight. Just a simple message. And if God's spoken to your heart tonight, God wants to do the impossible. But are you willing to let Him do it? Are you willing to be broken? Young people, God wants to use you. But are you willing to give all to Him? Parents, are you willing to give your children? Are you willing to give all to Him?